All right, so let's get started here. We're holding by the Gemara right after the Mishnah, your Dalet on the base.
Okay. The Mishnah says that you have Shigigit of Tumah with a Shtayim Sheina. Briefly, you have, there's a person forgets that he's Tumah and
knows that these are Kodshim, forgets that he's Tumah, knows that this is the Beis Mikdash, knows that he's Tumah, forgets that these are Kodshim,
knows that he's Tumah, forgets that this is the Beis Mikdash. That's the Shtayim Sheina.
How say it again?
You have person forgets that he's Tumah, knows that what he's eating is Kodshim, but he forgot that he was Tumah, so therefore he ate them. Forgot that he was Tomei, knew that this was a Beis Mikdash, went there.
Knew that he was Tomei, forgot that these are Kodshim, therefore he ate them, not knowing that they're Kodshim.
And forgot that he was Tomei and went into the not knowing that it's an area of Beis Mikdash. So now, I'm gonna
pop a lot by it. So the Papa asks the buyer, what do you mean there's only four? Shtayim Shein Arba, what do you mean? Shtayim Shein Sheish Havyan. You have two.
Namely, the Diyas and Tomei, you have the fact that the person knew
to begin with that he was Tomei, and later on he forgot in the middle, then he remembered at the end again that he's Tomei, and therefore has to bring his carbon. Yedias HaKodesh Tchil V'Soif, you have the same kind of thing where he knew at the beginning that these are Kodshim, later on he forgot it, later on he remembered again. So far you have four Yedias, one that he was Tomei, one that he was Tomei, one that he is Tomei now, two that he was Tomei when he ate the Kodshim, three that these were Kodshim,
that these are Kodshim. Four, later on, he remembers these were Kodshim. How could I eat them when I was Tomei?
And then you have two more, where he knew
to begin with that this was an area of the Beis Mikdash.
Later on, that's number five. And number six, then he forgot. Then later on, he remembered again, wait, I was in the Beis Mikdash when I was Tomei. So you have six types of Yedias.
So where is Yedias? So the answer is, so what's the problem? According to your own thought, it's money.
You might as well ask, instead of six, you can ask that there are eight. Darika Tumma de Kodesh with Tumma de Mikdash, because you also have that originally you know that you originally. No, this is Abaye, I guess, answering her papa. Yeah, that you know, you have that you originally knew that you were. You also have again that the person knew to begin with that he was Tomei before he entered the Kodesh, and then there's the fact that he knows afterwards, and the fact that he didn't know that he knew before that he's Tomei before he went into the Beis Mikdash, and then that he knew afterwards. So altogether, you end up with eight. So you might, instead of asking about six, you might as well ask about eight.
Okay, the answer is always Pasha. Fine, that's not a big deal. Change Tumma Achasi. Because you could argue Tumma is Tumma. The fact that you knew that you were Tomei and later on forgot and either ate Kodesh or went into the Beis Mikdash,
that doesn't count as two different types of Yedias. One where you knew that you were Tomei and then ate Kodshim, and another one where you knew that you were Tomei and forgot and went into the Beis Mikdash. You're not going to count those as separate scenarios. The fact is you knew that you were Tomei and you weren't supposed to be doing something involving Kodshim, and later on you forgot.
So you could say then, when you know, even you know this is on this reason, or you don't.
That's the point. In other words, so the Papa's question is, they have six there. You
knew that you were Tomei to begin with, then and you forgot. Then you remembered later on that you were Tomei, so that's two.
Then you have the case, again, where you knew the whole time you were Tomei, but you knew originally these were Kodshim,
forgot and ate them, and then later on you remembered again. You knew that this was the Beis Mikdash, forgot and entered it when you were Tomei, knowing the whole time you were Tomei, but forgetting that this is the Beis Mikdash, and remembering again. So altogether, you have six possible things that a person can know. So the question was, why don't you count them as eight? Why aren't you, the Papa, asking eight? So he can answer, okay, knowing that I'm Tomei and remembering afterwards that I was Tomei is the same thing, whether that involves that there was Kodesh or there was Mikdash. Okay, still Mikol Mokom Sheish Havyan. The bottom line is, if you look at it that way, you have six. Why is the Mishnah telling us two, which are four?
The answer is, I'm going to talk a lot of them smart.
After all said and done, really, you're right. We could have asked that there were eight. However, our boy Kamaisa, however, you have the first four ideas
that you knew originally that you were Tomei, that you knew originally that this was a Beis Mikdash, that you knew originally that these are Kodshim, and you have within the knowledge that you're Tomei, the two types, where afterwards you forgot and ate Kodshim, and the type that you forgot afterwards and
went into the Beis Mikdash, those four, Delay Mice and Levi Day Carbon, none of those bring him eventually to bring a carbon. Because the fact is, in order to bring a carbon, you have to have the idea at the end. If you don't have you have the idea at the beginning, fine, is an essential prerequisite.
Which
you have to bring
the carbon? When
you have the idea at the beginning, you knew, for example, that you were Tomei.
That in and of itself doesn't require you to bring a carbon. Only after you've forgotten a Kodshim.
And then, later on, and then even then, you're not bringing your carbon yet because you didn't remember yet. You don't have your Yedias B'Sof yet. Only eventually, when you have your Yedias B'Sof, then you're going to bring your carbon. So we're only counting the Yedias B'Sof. Basraisa, the Maisa, Monday Day Carbon, the last four Yediyas, which are what actually triggered that now he has to bring the carbon, that he knows now he was Tomei and ate Kodshim, that he knows now he was Tomei and had gone in for this Mikdash, that he knows now that having been Tomei, which he knew the whole time, he knows now this that I ate before was Kodshim, he knows now this that I went into his Bet Mikdash. Those are the four that the Mishnah is listing, because those are the ones that trigger him to have to bring the carbon. The Ikadamri, or another, so those Kohoshes, those are the ones that are counting.
The Ikadamri, another version of the discussion, Amar Abba, Wa'olam Tamli Mayim. After all, yes, we can say, as Abaya is pointing out to Rav, to Rav Abba, you really do have eight, so why are we only listing four?
Va'aboy Kamaisa, the less noble, Chol Atar Kula Kohoshe. Taket, you could say, the Mishnah, when it says four, is only referring to the first four, which you don't have that concept, the Chol Atar Kula. But Chol Atar Kula, let's say, for example, a person, let's say, breaks Shabbos, and they're Chayav HaChatos. You know, it doesn't have to be that beforehand you knew that there's a concept of Shabbos or that this and this is a malacha or whatever. It could be you never knew. You could be a tinnik shenishva. And you
break Shabbos and eventually you find out, eventually you meet up with your local shliach and he teaches you about Shabbos and then you realize you have to bring a chatos.
You don't need yediyah b'tchila.
Same thing with chela, same thing with all the other children in the Torah where you have to bring a chatos. Only by tumas mitzvah shekodesh are we saying this unique thing where you need yediyah b'tchila and yediyah b'tchila.
So Fakert, when our Mishnah is saying two, which come out to four,
when it lists the idea, it means the original idea. The fact that the kind of thing that you don't have anywhere else in the Torah.
Oh, wait. Shabbos, you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila.
But you need Yediyah B'Tchila
to bring the carbon.
Right.
So
to finish.
So yeah. If you don't have Yediyah B'Tchila,
but you have
Yediyah B'Tchila, you do have to bring a carbon.
Yes.
But to Mikdash, to the culture, you have to have both. You have to have Yediyah B'Tchila
and Yediyah B'Tchila.
If you don't have Yediyah B'Tchila,
then we said in the previous paragraph that one of the carbonists of Yom Kippur is Mechapa for you.
Oh, you're not even allowed to bring it.
You can't bring a carbon, yeah. You need Yediyah
B'Tchila.
Because you can have, for example.
You never knew.
Right. So that's what we discussed in the first paragraph. We had two different opinions over there. What do we mean by Yediyah B'Tchila? Do we mean that you knew that you were Tomei and then at some point you forgot it? Or is it enough to have what's called Yediyah Beis Rabbi, that you know that you learned in Cheder, that you touch a Sheretz, for example, you become Tomei and you're also to eat Kodshim? So in that case, then what would be the case where there's no Yediyah B'Tchila would in fact be a case of Tinnik Shenishba.
Where he never learned this in Cheder. Yediyah B'Tchila, at the end, he finds out, you know what? A month ago, I ate this thing, and now it was Kodshim.
Whatever, 5 years ago, I ate this thing, which was Kodshim. I didn't realize at the time that, and I was Tomei, and I didn't realize at the time that I'm not allowed to eat it for Tumor. Right? He doesn't bring the carbon because there was no Yediyah B'Tchila.
I mean, he didn't have the knowledge to know.
He didn't have the knowledge to know to begin with. It has to be that he knew to begin with that there would be something the matter over here. Then he forgot it. Then later, and ate the kodshim or went into this mikdash. Then he remembered again.
But the difference is when you were
just now, when you go, that's the thing. So therefore, so this second answer is what Papa is saying. The reason why our Mishnah mentions only two, which are four. What are the four?
We're talking about the ideas at the beginning. The lessner b'chol atarah kula, kachar.
There's only listening the ones where you don't have something similar to in the whole Torah. So this said it has to be that you knew originally that you were Tomei before later on forgetting and eating kodshim. That you knew originally you were Tomei before forgetting and entering the Beit Mikdash. That you knew originally that this is the Beit Mikdash and that you're Tomei.
And then forgot that it's the Beit Mikdash and entered. That you knew originally that you were Tomei and this is kodshim. And then you forgot that these are kodshim and ate them. Those four yediyas, which are unique to this case, Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, is what the Mishnah is listing.
Yediyah, and then Helam, and then Yediyah.
The last four.
All of them you have to know at the beginning.
Right, but only by Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, right. Avoy Basraisa, but the last four yediyas, the Isnu V'Chol HaTorah Kula, throughout the rest of the Torah also. You have to know that you ate Caleb in order to bring a carbon. You have to know that you broke Shabbos in order to bring a carbon. So those, like Kachoshav, those the Mishnah is not listing, because those are the same by every time you have to bring a carbon. So now
that's why you have two. That's why you have two, which are four. That's why. In other words, there's two ways of looking at it.
Only the Kiddush with it.
Either according to the second version, only the ones that are Kiddush.
According to the first one, Fakir. According to the first version, Fakir. It's only listing the ones that actually trigger the bringing of the carbon. Because you can't bring a carbon unless you have Yediyah at the end.
Okay.
What happens if the person forgot Hilchus Tumah? So Rashi explains that it means that he touched a sheret. He knows that he touched a sheret, but he doesn't know that it's Tomei.
When he touched, he knew that what he touched was a sheret, but he didn't know that he became Tomei thereby.
Mahu. So
they didn't know if you knew.
Hold on. So what?
Mahu. What would be the question? Is be done. What is the scenario?
Is it that he's not, that the case is we're talking about a person who doesn't know whether it's a sheret, that's metame, or whether it's a frog, that's metame? Because you have Rashi points out, a couple of the shrotim are reptiles which are similar to frogs. For example, you have a tsav, which is a toad. You have a latav, which is some type of lizard. So in a certain way, those resemble frogs.
So are we talking about a person who he touched, let's say, a toad, and he's not sure, he doesn't know, he thinks that the toad is not metame, but the frog
is metame? What kind of a question is it? Zilkore
beirabu. This is something that you can go and learn in Seder. Children in Seder learn the process of achole ba'achle ba'tzav, where tzav is a toad.
So therefore, you can't call it a helim. You have your dia b'tchila. You have your dia b'tchila. You have helim in the middle. You have your dia b'tchila. Of course, you have to bring a carbon.
So, what do you mean? Zil kori derab. What do you have to do? Yask and cheder.
That can't be considered a real helen. To not know something so basic that they learn in cheder.
Everyone waits.
Everybody.
Yeah. So that can't be considered a lack of idea. Okay. Tosfos talks about a couple of other possibilities.
Tosfos learns somewhat differently. That we're talking about. Let's say over here. Imagine this person. He sees that people in general are careful not to touch toads and they're careful not to touch frogs. He doesn't know, is it
that both of them are metame, or is it that maybe, okay, people just don't touch them for whatever reason, maybe because they're disgusting or whatever. Not necessarily does he realize which one is which. So in other words, according to Rashi, if he thinks that a frog is metame, a toad is not,
according to Tosfos, his first explanation is that he doesn't know which one is which. Or another possibility, Tosfos says, is you could have a person who learned in cheder that a tzav is metame, but he doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know which one is which. What is a tzav and what is a tzvadeya? What's a toad and what's a frog?
In modern Hebrew is turtle.
In modern Hebrew, a tzav is turtle.
Okay.
A tzav really is a tzav. Yeah.
And it's metame, the tzav?
Yeah, only when it's dead. No, a tzvadeya is not metame. The shmona shrotim only metame when they're dead. So here you have, so Tosfos says, you have a person. Imagine, you can have nowadays, for example, a person learns in cheder, hacholad ba'achla ba'tzav l'minehu, but he doesn't live out in he doesn't live out in nature or whatever. He doesn't, he never saw a toad, he never saw a frog. He doesn't know which one is which. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so according to that, zilkore be'ravu means that at least he learned in cheder that a tzav is mitame. So therefore, that should be enough to be considered a yedia. Okay, the answer is la'olam v'yodah v'tumas sheret. No, we can be talking about the person knows that a sheret is metame. However, the case is he touched a lentil-sized piece of a dead sheret, which is enough to be metame. He doesn't know whether a lentil-sized piece is enough to make him tame or not. Now, as a matter of fact, the shmona shrotim are the only things that are metame when they're dead. Other kinds of shrotim, frogs, for example, are not metame alive or dead. You have then the other kinds of tame animals. Yeah. Okay. The Torah distinguishes. You have four different types of life forms. You have land animals. You have
air animals
like birds and bats and whatever. You have water animals, which includes fish and whales and whatnot. And then you have shrotim, which are all, they also live mostly on the land, but they scurry along. Rashi describes that a sheret is you don't see its feet. Like it looks like it's kind of like kind of scurrying. It looks like it's kind of moving without feet because its feet are close to the ground. Those are shrotim. So among the various shrotim, only these eight are metame when they're dead. Among the land animals, among the land animals, whether they're kosher or not. Whether they're behemoth tahurus or not, whether they're metame when they're dead. They're only a kizayis of them is metame. A sheret, not a kadosh.
If you have amphibians, they live in the water and
fine. So the shmona shrotim, some of them are amphibian. The toad, for example, is an amphibian.
Right. So tzvardeya is not tame.
Tzvardeya is not metame anytime, alive or dead.
A toad is much bigger.
A toad has woody skin, a frog has smoother skin. A toad lives much of its life out of the water. A frog lives most of its life in the water. I don't know the exact differences. I'm not a zoologist, but
no one eats toad legs. They only eat frog legs.
Okay, fine.
Another difference.
Okay. Anyway. So here this person touched a sheret. He touched a lentil-sized piece of a sheret. He doesn't know the din, whether a lentil-sized piece makes you tame or not. You can't call that zil kore beirav. That's not something that necessarily you learn in cheder.
Yeah, you could go to a rav
and ask him, but not necessarily. You can say that he didn't have yedia, maybe. So my, what's the din? Given the yod of the matame sheres ba'olam, the fact that he knows that shrotzim make you tame, maybe therefore you dihi, maybe that's enough for it to be considered yodiah. Ojuma kiven de kadosh ala yodiah matame ala matame, or maybe he doesn't know whether this size piece makes him tame or not. How long he? Maybe that can be considered that there was no yodiah but chila. And the answer is teku.
Which means, practically speaking, you can't bring his korban. You can't bring his korban. The fact you can't bring his korban.
So that's it. He doesn't bring his korban. If whether the korbanos of Yom Kippur are mechaper for him,
so
they finished. I guess that really depends whether Hashem knows the truth,
well,
whether he's and whether
there was no teku.
I mean, Hashem knows the truth, so whether
teku wasn't there, but my
right.
bias, they knew the
okay.
answer. We
maybe.
Just don't know the answer.
Okay.
What was going on?
All right. Another similar question where you have a suffix.
It's like a bracha that you bring your carbon, you don't have to bring.
You can, the only kind of carbon that you can, well, okay, you can bring, for example, an oil or a shlomim or whatever, carbonus that can come in neder or nedava, you can bring them any time you want. But a carbon oil of a yod is a carbon that you're mechuyev in, if you're mechuyev in it. So you can't just bring it, stamazoy. Maybe I'm not sure about this. I mean, we know with the carbon oil of yod, you have three levels. You have where a person is rich and where a person can afford it, and they bring an animal as a carbon. You have where they're poorer, they bring two birds, one as an oil, one as a chatas. And you have where a person is even poorer, they bring a mincha. A chatas a'oif is the only kind of chatas that you're able to bring ala sofik. So maybe in that case, if the person is at the position where his normal korban olav yod would be the two birds, maybe he could bring that ala sofik. I don't know.
Well, the mincha you can bring as
a mincha you can't bring as a sofik, I don't think.
You could bring it as an
no, because no, because a mincha nedava involves flour and
it
involves oil. It involves oil and it has levoina on it. Whereas a mincha chote, you don't have oil or levoina on it,
yeah.
So nothing doing.
Okay,
but the oifus maybe, I don't know. Another question. Ben Bavel Sha'olah Eretz Yisrael. Suppose you have a person from Bavel, comes up to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yirmiya himself was like that. He himself is from Bavel and came to Eretz Yisrael. V'nelam imenu makam mitzash, and he doesn't know. He knows that there exists a basic mitzash in Yerushalayim, but he doesn't know where it is. Mavu, what is it in? Is that considered Yidiyah B'tchila, because he knows that the basic mitzash exists, or not, because he doesn't know exactly where it's located? Okay, so this is how Rashi explains it. Tosfos says what do you mean? The guy comes to Yerushalayim. The guy comes to Yerushalayim. It's easy to find out where the business is. Tosfos says that actually no. What we're talking about is that we're talking about this is after the Korban.
Yeah.
So yes, you have Bnei Eretz Yisrael may be familiar with where it is. That's why we say Bnei Ben Bavel rather than Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because
yeah.
they tend to be more familiar. But nevertheless, it can't necessarily be considered something you can ask any person on the street and they'd be able to tell you, let's say. On the other hand, he does know that there exists the Makom HaMikdash. So therefore, so what's the din? Mahu, what would be the din? Is that considered a Helam, or is that considered a Yedid? So the question is, Alibu Deman, who, according to which Tana is Rabbi Yirmiyah asking? Now we've learned in the first paragraph, we learned that there were three different opinions, what you need, what are the criteria you need to be high of a carbon for Tumas Mikdash for Kachur. First of all, technically, we've learned before that you can bring Karbanis even when the Beis Mikdash is not standing. We're actually going to talk about that later in the Gemara, as long as you know the Makom HaMizbeach, and as long as you have the various other criteria. Second of all, the question can be, is you going to have to bring a Karban lost in love when Mashiach comes? Or, I mean, you could have the same thing. You could have, for example, a person came after the first Karban. If he survives, if he lives long enough to see the second Beis Mikdash built, would he have to bring a Karban then?
He could have come a year before.
Yeah, also possible, yeah. That's true, actually. It doesn't have to be he came right after the Korban. Yeah, it could be he came 50 years later. It's true. Yeah. Okay. So we had three different opinions. We had the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who said that you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila. All you need is Helam when you did the Isser, and then Yediyah B'Sayf. So according to him, the question is not going to be relevant. It doesn't matter whether you had Yediyah at the beginning. You have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says that you do need Yediyah B'Tchila. However, Rabbi Akiva holds not knowing where the Mikdash is, or not knowing that this was Kodesh, is not Mechayev you a Korban. The only kind of Helam that's important for Rabbi Akiva is Helam Tuma, not Helam Kodesh or Helam Mikdash. So the question doesn't work according to him either. And then we have the opinion of Rebbe, who kind of combines the two opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, who agrees with Rabbi Shmuel regarding that you need that either kind of helam is considered a helam. He agrees with Rabbi Akiva that you need helam, but that you need yediyah b'tchila. So So the question can only be according to him, which is what the Gemara is going to say. If you're going to say the question is according to Rabbi Akiva, debo yudia betchila, where Rabbi Akiva is the one who says you need yudia betchila, okay, olam l'chayev al halav mikdash. Yes, but Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that you're chayev b'chol if you didn't know that you're in the Beis Hamikdash. So according to him, it's not relevant, regardless whether you knew there's a Beis Hamikdash or not, or that you, even if you didn't know that you're in the Beis Hamikdash, as long as you knew that you were tamei, he would say you don't bring a carbon. According to Rabbi Akiva, only if you had hell of tuma are you chayav a carbon. It doesn't matter whether you knew this was a Beis Hamikdash or not. You have to have hell of tuma. If you knew that you were tamei, what you forgot is that this is kodshim, or this is a Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Akiva would say you don't bring a carbon.
So you forgot that you were tamei.
Right. That's the only case. Those are the only cases where Rabbi Akiva...
Regardless, if you knew, you didn't know that you were in the Beis Hamikdash.
Exactly. And if you're going to say that the question is according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says you are chayv if you didn't know you were in the Beis Hamikdash, yeah, but Rabbi Shmuel doesn't require yediyah b'tchila. So what's the difference whether you knew whether the Beis Hamikdash exists or not, or the place of the Beis Hamikdash according to him? Doesn't matter.
So there's no place this question could have been asked.
The answer is, lo tzricha libe de Rebbe. No, but the reason why Rabbi Yumi has to ask this question is according to Rebbe, which the halacha, by the way, is like Rebbe. Debo yediyah b'tchila, Rebbe does require there to be yediyah b'tchila, u'machayev al helam mikdash, and Rebbe does also say that you're chayev for helam mikdash, not just for helam tuma. No, for helam tuma or helam mikdash. That's why when we said in the first parak that we had yediyah satuma shtayim shein arba, we said that can only be according to Rebbe. That Rebbe picked and chose between the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva over there what he held according to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Or in the end, okay, we said in the end, so we said Rebbe didn't agree with every detail that we said in the Mishnah, but still, whatever, yeah. And furthermore, Rebbe says, Yediyah space Rabbi Shmo Yediyah. Furthermore, Rebbe said over there also in the first parak that just knowing from Cheder that touching a sheretz or whatever makes you tamei, and that you're not allowed when you're tamei to go into the smithers, that is considered Yediyah. So therefore, the question is, now the question becomes, Mice, and now what's the din? Kiven the yada de ikam mikdash ba'olam, the fact that he knows that the Beis Hamikdash exists, or did exist, whatever, that the makam ha'mikdash exists, yadiyah he, is that enough to be considered a yadiyah b'tchila?
According to Rabbi.
Or dilma, or maybe not. Kiven the makayma la yada le, maybe since he didn't know the spot of it, you can't call it yadiyah b'tchila. Yadiyah says, Rabbi of Tuma, you learned that a sheretz is a tamay. The moment you touch a sheretz, you know that you touched a sheretz. But all it is you didn't realize that you touched a sheretz. You didn't pay attention that what you had just touched was a sheretz, for example. But over here, if he doesn't know where the Beis Hamikdash is located, that can't be considered yediyah based rabba. So he didn't learn the actual underlying facts that he needs to know in order to, yeah. So how long are you? So therefore, maybe it should be considered a helah. And again, the answer is teku. And again, the same thing, he can't bring a korban misal. Then the Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had continued that whether a person goes into the original part of the Azara or the extended part of the Azara, and then the Mishnah digressed to tell us how they extend the Azara if they want to, that if they decide the Azara is too small, they're able to enlarge it, and the same thing if they decide the city, the area of Yerushalayim where they're able to eat Korbanos and Maaseh Sheni and whatnot is too small, they're able to enlarge it, and you have a whole procedure involved.
And just to enlarge it, not to shrink it?
Yeah, just to enlarge it.
No, not to shrink it.
Yeah. Where, how would you be allowed to shrink it?
Well, I mean, I thought maybe if we didn't want...
Okay, so the Mishnah had digressed to tell us that in order to add to the size of the city or the size of the Azaret, you need a lot of things. You need the Melech, the Novi, the Urim Tumim, the Sanhedrin. You need two Todos, and you have singing, and the Beis Din walking over there with the two Todos. The Levim, yeah. The Beis Din walking with the two Todos and the whole Jewish people.
Wow.
They mentioned, by the way, in the Shurim Bagodas Chazal, they have in the next room over here, they mentioned an interesting thing. You have eight different things involved over here. Maybe it has to do with the idea. It's Hanukkah now. Eight is L'mayla Menaseba. You want to add to the place of the Azorah where open Nisim happened. You want to add to the place of Yerushalayim where 10 Nisim, Asorah Nisim, Nasa Lavisenu, Beis HaMikdash, and some of them were in Yerushalayim. Then you need eight things to go L'mayla Menaseba. Okay. Anyway. So, Menohani Mili. So where do we know this from, that you have that you need all of that in order to enlarge the Azara or your Shalayim? Amr of Shemi Machia, the Amakra, because like this, the Pasuk says, Kechol Asher Ani Mara Oisra, Hashem says to Moshe in Parashas Teruma, when he first tells him about the Mishkan, according to all that I'm showing you, Estavnis HaMishkan, the form of the Mishkan, the Estavnis Kol Kelev, and the form of all of its Kelim, and then Hashem continues, V'chein Ta'asu, and so you should do. Now what are those extra words, V'chein Ta'asu mean? It means for all future generations, it has to be done in the same way. So now over here, you had Moshe is the Melech. By Ibn Shurin Melech, one of the explanations is it goes on Moshe. He was also a Nabi. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol as well. You had that he was wearing the Urim Tumim. You had the Shivim Skei. You were saying yesterday that why don't we have the Kohen Gadol involved? I thought you were saying, yeah, you do have the Kohen Gadol involved. He's wearing the Urim Tumim. So in other words, they have to ask the Urim Tumim, and they have to get a message back from the Urim Tumim. Yes, go ahead and do this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you had the Shivim Skeinim. So you had all these things. Masivra. So therefore, we learn that in all future generations, it has to be the same kind of thing. Motiv Rava. Rava asks on that, what do you mean it has to be the same thing as was done in Moshe's times as done in future generations? I'll give you an example where not. We learn in a Braisa, Kol HaKelem She'asa Moshe, all the Kelem that Moshe made originally for the Mishkan, Mishichosan Mekadashkan, what made them holy and become Klei Shoreis, which have the dinim of Klei Shoreis, like we learned about in the previous Sedek, when they were anointed with the Shemen HaMishkah, Mikan Ve'elach, but in future times, no, you don't anoint them with the Shemen HaMishkah. If they did, they would have been in trouble in the second Mishnah Mishkah, that the Shemen HaMishkah was hidden away. Instead, Avodasan Machanachdan, just using them for the Avodah, is what makes them that now they have the Chinuch, now they've officially been inaugurated in, and now they become Klaikar. So we see that it's not the same thing.
So all the kings within the Mishnah weren't holy?
No, that's the thing, they were. As soon as the first time you use it for an Avodah, it becomes holy. You have, let's say, for example, a basis.
It's like your debit card, Lazio.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
It's like a debit card, Lazio. The first time you use it, okay, good. But yeah, let's say, for example, you have, let's say, a mizrach for catching the blood. The first time, once a new mizrach is made, the first time you take it and use it to catch the blood of a carbon, then it immediately becomes a klei shoreis right then and there. Without needing to be anointed.
Well, the first time.
Whereas the first one, they had to be anointed individually with the Shemen HaMishkah. So why? V'amai, name of v'chein tasu v'dardus. What happened to this v'chein tasu? That's supposed to be the same. The answer is shiny hosim. It's different in that case. Because the pasuk says, appropriate, yeah, we just laid it for Hanukkah, for the first day of Hanukkah, that Moshe anointed them and made them holy. The word oisam is a mute. Only those original ones were made holy by anointing, not the later ones. Now, okay, so you could argue, Ema Oysam Meshicha, you could argue, okay, those original ones, you Davka needed Meshicha. Ledoras Oyba Meshicha Oyba Avoida. But still, how does that tell us that maybe in future generations it's one or the other? Either you can anoint them, or if you don't want to anoint them, then you use them and then they become activated. One or the other. How do we know? In other words, the point is, the Braisa was telling us is that the original ones that Moshe made, you use only the Shemen HaMishkah. Nothing else would make them play Kodesh. After that, putting Shemen HaMishkah on them doesn't help. It has to be that you use them, and then they become Klei Kodesh. So why? That they become Klei Shoreis. Now why? According to this, we could argue that in future generations, you want to be Mashiach then. That can also work. You have two options. Now, Amar Papa, Amar Kron, no, because you have a different Pasuk. Asher Yishosu Bamba Kodesh. The Pasuk says, which they serve with them in the holy place. Again, those words are extra because previously in the pasuk it's describing all the clay shoreis. The pasuk actually says, "V'lo kol kol clay shoreis." I show you shoreis through Baba Kodesh. So, of course, they're clay shoreis. You use them to serve in the holy place. What are those extra words? Meaning tlaw nakas of v'shirus. Meaning the pasuk specifically says that depends on shirus. Only once they're used do they become clay shoreis. Okay. Well, then the question is, hashta the kasa rahmana I show you shoreis to. Fine. Well, if you have that. That limud from Asher Yishosu, Oysam Lomali. Why do we need the mute from the word Oysam then in that case? We have two different psukim that are teaching us the same din. What do we need? The answer is Ilai Kotzer Rahman Oysam. Yes, but if the Pasuk hadn't written Oysam, Hava Amina, Hani Hudu B'Mashicha, we would think, okay, what it means is the ones from the Mishkan originally, all you needed was anointing. L'dodas B'Mashicha Uva Avoida. Maybe L'dodas, it's not like we thought before, it's optional, you can do one or the other. Maybe L'dodas, you need both. You need Mashicha and you need Avoida. Because after all, you do have the pasuk v'chein tasu, which was what brought us into the question in the first place, that you should need the same thing from before now. Therefore, miyot rachmana oisam. Instead, therefore, the pasuk gives us the miyot oisam, oisam v'mashicha v'lo l'joris v'mashicha. So you need all three psukim. You need one to teach us that, in general, what was done originally for the Mishkan has to be done the same in the future, such as the procedure that we're talking about for enlarging the Azara, for being mekadosh the Azara. On the other hand, you need to know that only the clay shardis of Moshe Rabbeinu's time is needed Mashicha. And on the other hand, you need to know that only the clay shardis of future generations need to first be used and then they're activated. Okay. So we said in the...
they don't need Mashicha.
They don't need Mashicha, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
We said in the Mishnah, the state toilet. We said in the Mishnah that part of the procedure of enlarging the shalayim is that they use two toilets.
Now, we know that a toda consists of you bring an animal for a korban, plus you bring 40 loaves of bread. So, what when we say the todas over here, which part of the toda are we talking about? The meat of it, the meat from the animals, or are we talking about the chalas? Tana, we learn in a braisa, shtei todas, tra'amur v'lachman v'leib of sarah. We mean that they take the bread of the toda and carry it to the place that they're around to the places that they're going to enlarge Yerushalayim to, not the meat of the toda.
Can I fold the bread?
Well, we're going to see it. Not all of them. Hold on. We're going to see. Menahani, at least. Where are we?
That applies to the lechem.
Yeah, yeah. So only the lechem we're carrying, but not even all the lechem. You're asking, does it mean all 40? Hold on. Menahani, at least. Where do we know this from? Amar of Chista, like this. The Amakro, you have a pasuk like this. So, okay. In we know this Sefer Ezra. We discussed in Sanhedrin that originally had Sefer Ezra consists of two parts. Sefer Ezra consists of two parts. One which was written by Ezra, and one which was written by Nehemiah. Properly speaking, they're one continuous sefer of Nach. Eventually, the Goyim, for their own reasons, split them into two, and that eventually made its way into our Tanakh also. So we have them split out as Ezra and Nehemiah. We talk about what the Chidah says, the deeper idea maybe why that happened. Be that as it may, in the Nehemiah part of Ezra, he describes over there earlier how he rebuilt the walls of Yerushalayim in the face of tremendous opposition, and it was a very hard job and whatever, but they finished it. Later on, near the end of his sefer, he describes how they had a procession around the walls of Yerushalayim to be Mekadosh the city, because now the Yerushalayim has been rebuilt, the Beis Hamikdash has been rebuilt, we now need to give it its official Kedusha. That you should be able to eat Ma'aser Sheni and Kodesh and Kalim and whatever over there. So the pasuk describes that they had this procession. Nehemiah describes, "Va'amida shtei todas gdolos." I set up two big todas, v'taluchos liyamin me'al achoma, and processions going to the right, above or beyond the wall. So Rashi learns that what it means is they walked around the outside of the wall, moving to the right. So like the wall is over here. They're walking on the outside of the wall around Yerushalayim, going to the right constantly. So going counterclockwise around the city on the outside of it.
The opposite of the Mizbeach.
No, whenever you go, you should always be turning them in.
Same as the Mizbeach.
Also, you go around counterclockwise.
You make a right-hand turn first, and then it's all left-hand turns.
No, what it is when you're walking on the Mizbeach, you're walking on the ledge of the Mizbeach, you're facing the Mizbeach, you're moving towards your right, meaning that you're going counterclockwise. Okay, so anyway, that's how Rashi learns it. Some of the other Rishonim learn that it means that they actually walked that they actually walked on the wall. Anyway, okay, so the question is, what does it mean gedolus? My gedolus. Min godol mamish. Do we mean that the actual animal brought for the Torah was partially a big type of animal, meaning a cow? Name a parim. And why use the word gedolus? Say that it was parim. Ela gdolus b'minon. Are you going to say that it means he brought the biggest of their species? So let's say, for example, in other words, it wasn't necessarily a cow. Let's say it was a sheep, but he brought the biggest sheep that he could find.
That sheep.
Yeah. The problem is mi ika chashivus kamishmaya. Is that kind of thing? Do we make that kind of importance before Hashem? Does Hashem really care about the size of the korban? Now it is true. Tosfos says you do have a mitzvah to bring the nicest possible korban. However, he shouldn't be writing the word gedolos as like, look at me, I brought the nicest possible korban. The mitzvah is equally done by one with the other, as long as you do the Shem Shemayim.
A small or a big one?
Yes. Bal Tanya, or as we learn in a Braisa, it's actually a Mishnah, it's last Mishnah in Menachos. Nema ba'olos behema ishe reach nechayach, by a olav of an animal, it says the word ishe reach nechayach, that's a fire korban, a sweet smell to Hashem. Ba'olos nachas ruach lefame, as Rashi says over there, that the Eved has nachas ruach from it, that he commanded and what he said is done. It says the same thing by an oil of a bird, the mincha ishe reach nechayach, because melamed to teach you. Whether you bring a little or a lot, or a lot or a little, as long as you have kavana in honor of Hashem. So why would we be using the word gedolos? As if to pride himself on the fact that he got the biggest possible korban. Somebody says on this, actually, it might be the Chassam Sofer, I don't remember, that Fakir, given that you're obligated to bring a korban as much as you're able to afford, ishtemat nafyode, then Fakir, if they're able to afford the biggest possible korban, then you have to bring it. And you can't get away with something smaller. So why is he saying gedolos as if like to pride himself, like, look at this, I brought more than I'm supposed to. If you can afford gedolos, then that's what you have to bring. So the word gedolos can't mean that. Ella gdola shabatoda. No, rather what it means is, we learn from this word gdolos, it means the larger thing within the toda, the larger type of chalos that come with the toda. Umayni hu chomets. namely the chametz.
The chametz.
So specifically what we're saying is you take the chametz loaves from the Torah, and those are what you're from the two Torahs, and those are what you carry around your shalai. Why are they larger? They're the largest of the 40, right. The Tanan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, HaToda HaYabhoisavam in Chomesh Sin Yerushalmiyot, a Toda, the bread, the matzahs, whatever that came with the Toda, were made out of 5 Yerushalmi saw of flour, Shein Shesh Midgorius, which is equivalent to 6 saw in the desert size, in the desert size measurements, because we have that the most of the time in the Toda, when we usually talk about measurements, a revius, a lug, a saw, whatever, we usually talk about the Midgorius measurements. But event, the ones that were in the Midbar, when the Torah was originally given. Later on, at some point, after they came to Yerushalayim, at some point during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, I guess, they enlarged them by 20%. So now they're 20%, now they're 20, yeah, we talk about an Erevin, we talk about it here and there, yeah. So now, 6 Midbarius now equal 5 Yerushalayim. So a saw, let's see, a saw in modern terms is about, a saw in modern terms is about 20 pounds, about 20, that's what it is. So a saw nowadays is about 20 pounds of flour. So if we're saying for the saw midvarius, that is, so 6 midvarius saw, we're talking about 120 pounds of flour.
Oh.
What do we do with that? Shein shtei eifos, which equals 2 eifos, because an eifa is 3 saw, but eifa shalosh sin, an eifa is 3 sin. How do we divide down these five or six saw? So if we have those 2 eifos, now, so it's also Esrim Isorin. 2 Eifos equals 20 Isorin. Because the Pasuk tells us by the Monva, Omer Asiris Eifu, and Omer is 1/10 of an Eifa. So if the total amount we're talking about over here is 2 Eifos, then it means it's 20 Isorin. What do we do with these 20 Isorin of flour? Asor lechomets, I might be overestimating a little bit, that Isorin is a Shiuchala. Shiuchala, we usually say nowadays, about 3 or 4 pounds. So actually, then I must have miscalculated somewhere over here. 20 Isorin, then if an Isorin is about 3 or 4 pounds, then 20 Isorin would be 60 or 80 pounds. So, okay, I buy it.
Not 120 pounds?
Not 120, I guess.
Wow,
okay,
I'm still hungry now.
Anyway. What do we do with these 20 Isorin? Asor la chometz va'asor la matzah. 10 Isorin go for the chometz bread that then is divided into 10 loaves. Va'asor la matzah, and the other 10 go for the matzah. Over matzah shloish minin, and among the matzah, the ones that don't become chometz, you have 3 varieties. Chalois, rikikin, urubucha. You have chalois, which are thick matzah. You have rikikin, which are thin wafers, similar to our matzah, and rubucha, which is where they knead it with oil first and fry it and then bake it. You have 3 different types.
Those are donuts.
Yes. Well, they're matzah in the sense they don't become chametz.
You're saying they fried?
So,
fried
doesn't it?
Everything is
fried. Fried in oil, yeah, but to become chametz, we need to have water in it. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll learn in Menachos. We'll learn in Menachos, Bez Hashem, when they make these korbanos mincha, that are the ones that are baked and fried and whatever in the Bez Mechas, the koyanim are zrizim. They knew how, even if water has to be part of the recipe,
really,
and in some cases it is, they knew how to be careful to keep it from becoming chametz. Anyway, the point is that, therefore, the matzah. Now, each variety had 10 loaves of it. So therefore, the matzah ones are much smaller than the chametz ones, because you have, again, you have 10 isorin divided among 3 types of matzah, and each one you're making into 10 loaves, whereas the 10 isorin for the chametz, it's just made into 10 loaves. So the loaves of chametz are much bigger than the loaves for matzah. So when we say gedolot, we mean the chametz ones. So those are the ones that they would carry around in this procession.
The chametz one, how many isorin there were?
So again, you had 10 isorin for the chametz one. They divided that 10 isorin into 10 loaves. So each loaf is 1 isorin, 1 shiur challah.
Right.
You go to a matzah bakery, you see they knead up a batch of dough over there, and you're not allowed to knead up more than a shiur challah at the time, so you're talking a piece like that. Then for the matzahs, you have to imagine each one of those cut into 3 pieces.
So half of the dough went to the challahs?
Went to the chametz, and the other half went to the matzahs, but the matzahs was divided among 3 different types. So each...
Whereas the chametz was divided into...
Ten big loaves, as opposed to the matzah, you have 10 chalos, 10 rikikin, 10 revocha. So each one is only
a
third of the
like
size. Yeah, basically, in that sense, yeah. Okay,
were
so that's what it means
by
like
no, they weren't
great. Ava Rami Bachoma. So now Rami Bachama says, what about if we want to be Makadesh the Azara, or enlarge it, or whatever? For that, you need the leftovers of a mincha. So we know a mincha, a regular person's mincha, the Kohen takes out the Kohenet and throws it on the Mizeach and burns it, and the rest of the Kohenet eat. That can only be inside the Azara. What we have to use during the Kaddish, the Azara, we have to use Shiore Mincha. My time, or what's the reason? Ki Yerushalayim. Because in that sense, we do a similar thing to what we do with Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim Gavra HaMecha V'Makadsha, just like when it comes to Yerushalayim, how you Makadish it, with something that is supposed to be eaten there, namely a Toda is Kodshim Kalim, you eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. That is why we're using the Chalos of the Chomets of the Toda and bringing it around. Like to say, from now on, we're allowed to eat Chomets, we're allowed to eat the Chomets and the Makta, for that matter, of the Toda over here, because this is now an extended area of Yerushalayim. HaFazora, Gavra HaMecha V'Makadsha. The same way the Azora, to be Makadish, you need something that can be eaten in it.
So if you eat outside the Azara these things, then you Mekadesh the Azara, and you enlarge it?
Yeah, but they designate that a certain area now is going to be an enlarged Azara, yeah. So the question is, what do you mean? Also, lachme toda ba'azara milo misachli. What do you mean? The lachme toda can be the bread of the toda can be eaten in the Azara also. It can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. It could just as well be eaten in the Azara. Why can't you use it also? Now, elak Yerushalayim. What we mean to say is we have to make it similar to Yerushalayim in the following way. Ma Yerushalayim dover amnecha bava yotze b'menin. So just like when it comes to Yerushalayim, you need something that can be only that can be eaten in Yerushalayim, and if you take it out of Yerushalayim, it becomes posel. Namely, that's true of the lachme toda. Af azara dover amnecha bava yotze b'menin nifsol. The same thing for the azara. You need not only something that can be eaten there, but something that if you were to take it out of there, it would become posel. Namely, the mincha. The mincha can only be eaten in the Azara. Mincha is kodshi kodshi.
So how can you enlarge the Azara?
So that's the thing. What you do is the Sanhedrin, these are the king, the Sanhedrin, the whatever, they all decide up until this point is going to be the new area of the Azara.
One
now you take Shiore Mincha and you walk out to that area, and I think the Rambam says you also eat it over there to make it official.
And
it's not nifsal because now this is the extended area.
Why don't they use just a korban?
Because the same way, as we're saying, as you need to use some kind of bread. So when it comes to...
Oh, it has to be a bread.
It has to be some kind of bread, apparently, yeah. Yeah.
Why does it have to be a bread?
I don't know why specifically bread as opposed to meat, but that's there's a cost of, I don't know.
What's in the
pasuk there? The pasuk says, Shtei todos gdolos, and you just said gdolos means the chomet.
Oh, so because it says then you have to eat something like a bread, and that's going to be the
mishore. And that's going to be the mishore, I mean, for like. Okay, the question is, e mala halam chomets afkan chomets. Fine. Then in that case, if you're going to make the comparison, you should say, just like with Yerushalayim, you need something that's chomets. So also with the Azora, you should need something that's chomets doing the Kaddish. What do you mean? Yeah, whereas a mincha is a standard mincha is just flour, water, and is not flour and water, sorry, flour and oil and lavoina, and then you pick off the lavoina, you take the chomet, you pick off the lavoina, and you burn all that, and the chomet eat the rest. You also have various baked kinds of menachas, but what a kohen mincha has to not be chomet. It's not allowed to become chomet. So that's the question. So that's the question. The tisbara, how can you think to ask such a question? Mincha chomet mi'ika? Do you have such a thing as a mincha of chomet? So you're going to say, okay, the mincha can't be chomet before you take out the koimet. Sure, but after you take out the koimet, the koimet are going to be eating the rest anyway. Why shouldn't they be allowed to make that with other part chomet and then eat it? The answer is no. Because the pasuk says lo se off a chomet chelkam. The pasuk says it should not be baked chomet, their portion. Now, when we lay in the pasuk with tzrach, chelkam belongs to the next part of the pasuk. Chelkam nasati otameisha. Hashem says I gave it as their portion from my fire
to
the kohen. But we darshan the word chelkam also going together with the word lo se off a chomet. The amarish lofish it means actually look chelkam lo se off a chomet. It means even their portion, the part that the kohenim eat, is not allowed to become chomet. They have to eat it in a non chomet. They have to not allow it to become chomet. So therefore, so you don't have a mincha that's chomet. Okay, so you might ask that
question.
So in other words, why are you asking you should have to use chomet if there's no such thing anyway? Yes, so you might ask that lama loy. So why not? I can find you a mincha that's chomet. Efshad mekadesh b'shtei alechem ba'aseres. You have the one unique kind of mincha which is chomet, namely the shtei alechem of Shavuot. No, you're repeating. That even their portion is not allowed to be baked chomet. But alomaloi, the Gemara answers right back, why not? Efshad mekadesh b'shtei alechem ba'aseres. You can be mekadesh using the shtei alechem of Shavuot. So therefore, maybe what you need to do is, you want to enlarge the Azara, you want to mekadesh the Azara or whatever, wait till Shavuot, and then use the shtei alechem to be mekadesh. Who says you can be mekadesh? Who said? Well, that's what we're going to figure out whether you can. But who said you can do it any time during the year by using any old code of mincha? Maybe you have to wait till Shavuot. The answer is mishum delay eksha. The answer is because it's not possible. It's not going to work out.
To use an old one?
No. Heichi nabed, because how would you try to do such a thing? Nivniyim Esmo v'nekadshim Esmo, would you say that you're going to finish the building of the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Shavuot, and be mekadosh it using the Shtei HaLechem on Erev Shavuot? Fine, the Shtei HaLechem have to be baked before Shavuot. So maybe you're saying, okay, you have these breads already baked, ready to be used on Shavuot for the Korban. Maybe we can use them now on Erev Shavuot. Problem with that is no. Where are we? Because they only become kodesh once the kvasim that go along with them are shechted, and that only takes place on Yom Tov.
So even if you bake them
erev Yom Tov, now they have kedushas damim because they were bought with
right.
funds from the business. They don't yet have kedushas aguf until the kvasim are shechted.
You have to do them on Yom Tov.
Exactly. Okay, should we continue? Nivni me'esmo v'dekadshi ho'idna. Should we say, okay, we'll finish building the new area of the Azara on erev Shavuos, and then we'll be mekadesh it on Shavuos. But in Kiddush B'Shas HaBinyan, we have to have the Kiddush takes place at the same time when the construction is finished. How about
you cannot build it all?
That's the next one. Nivnei B'Yom Tov and Nikadosh B'Yom Tov. Should we say, okay, we'll build the remaining part of the Azara on Yom Tov and Nikadosh it on Yom Tov? Can't. Hold on. Ein Beis Mikdash Ein Binyan Mikdash Doicha Yom Tov. Building the Beis Mikdash is not Doicha Yom Tov. Okay, how about? We have maybe more possibilities. Nishpaka levasa hachi. Fine. Maybe what we should argue is that we'll leave the bread over. We won't eat it on Shavuos like the Kohenim usually do. We'll leave it to after. We'll leave it for Isruchag v'nivniye, and then we'll finish building the Azara on Isruchag v'nikadshe, and then we'll be makadosh it with this bread. Can't. If silalei belina. As soon as you leave it overnight, it becomes possible. It can only be eaten. It's kodshe kodshim. It can only be eaten that day and that night. So you have till chatzos or till alois hashachar or whatever, but after that, nishpacha means leave it. Leave it alone. Labasa hachi for after Yom Tov. V'nivniye, and then build it. V'nikadshe, and then be mekadosh it. No, ipsilei lebilin. How about nivniye m'mala yoyma? How about maybe we can do as follows? We'll build most of this extension to the Azara before Yom Tov. V'nishayu beit poter. We'll leave a tiny bit over. To finish the Ad Kaddish Yoma, and after the holy day is over, meaning as soon as Yom Tov ends, Mata Yom Tov, La'alter Nigmar Evin Akadshe, immediately we'll be able to finish off that tiny little bit, and then be Makadish it that night when the Shtei Alechem are still kosher because they can still be eaten until Chatzos. Can't Ein Binyan Beis Mikdash Balayla. You cannot build the Beis Mikdash at night. And we know that. How, Taka, do we know that you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night? Shenema, over Yom Hakim at the Mishkan. Because the Pasuk says, on the day that they set up the Mishkan. Implying, V'yoyim Mekime, V'layla in Mekime. You can only build it by day, not by night.
It could mean you could still build it up. You have to inaugurate it during the day.
No, we're saying you can't build it, right. By the time you'd inaugurate it by day, the Shtei Alechem Apostle, and you can't finish the building at night and be Mekadosh it at night. You can't build. When we're talking about extending the Azara, what we mean is the king, the Navi, et cetera, they all agreed this is going to be the new area of the Azara, or we're going to be Mekadosh the Azara for the first time when the Beis HaMikdash is built, whatever it is, and now we're going to build this area, and then once we finish building it, we're going to be Mekadosh it. But you can't build it by night. Tosfos points out an interesting thing. We have the Gemara has the discussion in a couple of places, one of them being in Rosh Hashanah. You have the discussion about why is it Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made the rule that after the Churban you're not allowed to eat Chodosh until after the 16th of Nisan has passed, or for us Chutznik the 17th. Why is that? Why don't we say that usually the usual rule is that the Korban HaOmer was brought in the morning when there was a Beis HaMikdash, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and never happened that they brought it later than Chatzos, so therefore when there was a Beis HaMikdash standing, any people even far away from Yerushalayim could eat it after Chatzos, because they knew the Korban had been brought by that time. And the Gemara discusses over there various possibilities where you could have a Beis HaMikdash is built right before Tzayin Nissen, and therefore they don't have the time to bring the Korban HaOmer in its proper time. That's one reason the Gemara discusses why the Gzeira.
So then the question is, the Gemara mentions over there one possibility, that maybe it's built at night.
What do you mean? Or Gemara says you can't build it. So Tosfos says that...
So what's the solution?
So Tosfos says that the Gemara over there is talking about Mikdash HaShlishi, the future Beis HaMikdash. That is going to be come down from Shemayim. Sure, Hashem can send it down at night just as well as by day, but we, when we're building the Beis HaMikdash, we can only build it by day.
They never enlarged the Beis HaMikdash?
No. The
previous...
No, hold on. So hilchah la'if, finishing off the Gemara, hilchah la'if, therefore it's not possible to use something, to use some kind of chametz mincha for it. Therefore, by elimination, it has to be that you have to be able to do it with a regular mincha, not a chametz mincha. So that's the maskana, is you don't need a chametz mincha. Any kind of shiare mincha will do, because there's no possibility of using, there's no such thing as a chametz mincha where it would fit, where we would be able to do all these things. So therefore, it has to be a matzah mincha, right? As opposed to Yerushalayim, you're able to use the chametz from the Torah, and therefore that's what you're supposed to use.
When
the Mishkan, we learned for the Beis Mikdash. But but actually, so I'll tell you, besides what Tosfos says over here about the difference between the previous Batei Mikdash and the third Beis Mikdash, the Meiri gives an interesting answer, which is the Gemara over there in Rosh Hashanah is talking about, let's say, for example, when it comes, when Mashiach finally comes and the Beis Mikdash is being built, the Sanhedrin of that time may possibly be so excited to have the Beis Mikdash built that they're going to forget the halacha that we're saying over here, that you're not supposed to build it at night, and they're going to go build it at night. So what are you going to do? You're not going to say what they build has to be torn down. No, but you have it, okay. But all Gemara is saying you're not supposed to do it.
But we wouldn't be able to serve that
neighbors. So you have different opinions about that. Tosfos, Rashi and Tosfos over there in Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah and whatever talk about that it'll come down Minashamayim. Come talk that. On the other hand, the Rambam, we know, famously writes that one of the things a person needs to do to be Mashiach Vadeh is Bonam Bichnish from Chaymer, that he rebuilds the Beis Mikdash, meaning that it will be built Bidei Adam. There's a famous reconciliation, I think I've heard it said in the name of the Brisker Rav, that says that the Beis Mikdash, the building will come down Minashamayim, but we will put up the gates. We learned with the finishing touches. We learned back in Bava Basra that if a person puts gates up on a house, that's a valid form of chazaka on a house. So therefore, like that, that'll be our contribution to the building.
Until the gates are put, the building is not complete.
Exactly right. So therefore, that's how we complete it. Yeah.
Like, remember the big house that you built on the land and you didn't put the doors on?
Yeah.
Someone came and put the doors on. Remember that?
All right. Let's go a little further. Over Shir, we said in the Mishnah that another thing you need in this procession is the singing. So what singing? Torah Rabbanan Shir Shel Torah. They sing songs of thanks to Hashem.
Do we know the
Yeah, the Gemara is going to tell us. No, not the tunes. We don't know, but
yeah, we do.
Well, actually, yes and no. I mean, they say in particular that some of the Skarbov and Negunim, some of the traditional Negunim that are used on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, yeah, are remnants from the Skarbova, they're called, which means like holy Negunim or whatever. But the traditional ones, they're known to go back to the Maharil, who was a Rishon in Germany. But it's said that they include vestiges of the Shira of the Levim from the Beis Mikdash.
What about the Brichas Kohanim? Is that no?
The Brichas Kohanim that we do know was composed by the middle of Rebbe's Kapella. But they say also, in particular, they say about the tune of V'Hakoyanim that was a song from the Beis Mikdash.
What?
The song of V'Hakoyanim. V'Hakoyanim. Ellie could give us a whole rendition of it.
Because that's what it was.
That's that particular one. But more generally, they say about the other Skarbov and Negunim as well. Anyway. Okay. Of the kinodas of nivolim or tzeltzelim, they use the harps or violins, and nivolim some other kind of musical instrument, or tzeltzelim and cymbals. Al kol pina opina, you had levim standing by every corner in the city. Al kol evan gedola shi Yerushalayim, and by every big rock in Yerushalayim, like every landmark. But oimer, and these are the songs that they said. These are the songs that they sang. Okay, you were asking, is it only levim? So you have actually the mincha chinuch, the tzlach, talk about, is it only the levim, or maybe is it the whole Jewish people join in as well? Okay, anyway, different opinions. When Mashiach comes and they do it for the third Beis Mikdash, we'll find out. Yeah. Okay.
I'm ready.
The oimer, so they say the following capital. Are in Hashem Tidilitzani, the oimer. Number one, they say capital, the Mizmer Shir Chanukah Tabayis was of it. So Rashi says that's exactly why they say it, it's about Chanukah Tabayis.
There you go. Very appropriate.
Very appropriate. Marsha talks about a different reason. There are psukim in that capital that hint at the difficulties that the Jewish people had when they first built the second Beis Mikdash, the difficulties they were having with the local goyim, and afterwards when they built the walls of Yerushalayim. Nehemiah describes in some detail all the trouble they had with the goyim over there. So therefore, you have psukim in that capital also. Hashem helisa mishel nafshi. Probably these guys were opposing them and trying to master on them to the king and trying to attack them and whatever. So like this, you have psukim in Mizmer Shir Chanukah Tabayis for David.
Violating the building code.
Yeah, whatever.
It's more than
but the king gave permission to build.
The king gave them permission to build, but still afterwards you had the original permission from Kodesh to rebuild the Beis Mikdash was rescinded because the goyim over there mastered that the Jews are going to try to rebel against you. Now when Nehemiah years later, where they eventually got permission to finish it, but then.
And
yeah, than you later have on when Nehemiah got permission from the king to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, but you still have the local Goyish, the local Goyish leaders over there, Sanballat and Tobia and whatever, were all harassing him and trying to prevent him and doing all kinds of things and threatening him that we're going to master on you as the king, that you're trying to make yourself king, etc. So yeah, it was a difficult time.
Who were
these people? So Sanballat is the Chodon. You have a character named Geshem who was an Arab, but you have the other ones. It's not so clear. The Gemara talks about in Kiddushin a couple of possibilities where they may be Avodim who went off the Derech, or they may be among the Kor, or they may be from the Kusim, or they may be whatever it was. Anyway, they were Nehemiah's opponents. Yeah. Okay.
So where was that in Kiddushin?
Kiddushin in the last Derech. It's over there.
I read it, but I don't remember.
I'll show it to you afterwards. Okay, so that's number one. Aramim Hashem Kedivisani, again, either because it's Mizmer Shilchan Nochas Abayas David, or because it talks about how Hashem saved us from the difficulties that our enemies caused for us. And number two was Shir Shah Pagoyim. Number two, they sang the song of Pagoyim, which is Yoshev Vesetzer Elyim, Capital Tzadik Aleph. Why is it called Shir Shah Pagoyim? Because, as the Gemara is going to say, it talks about how Hashem protects us from dangers, from Mazikim. The Yeshonim Shir Shah Nigoyim. Others say that what they sang is a song of Nigoyim. Which is the same capital, by the way. You have two different halves of it. You have the first half of the capital describes how Hashem protects us from our enemies and from our dangers and whatever. Then it continues with brachas, lois une lechara, kimalacha bitzavalach, etc. One thing. Why we're calling it so? Mando amad dinigo. So for, why are we using that capital? Rashi says because Moshe said it when the Mishkan was set up. Moshe says to the Jewish people, he wrote them that the Shechina should rest on what you did, v'noyim Hashem alekeinu aleinu, and he continued with Yoshev v'Sezer. So therefore we also say Yoshev v'Sezer at a time like this. Also, again, Tosafot talks about a similar that also this capital, Tzadik Aleph, talks about the Shibum HaShoyim Tira, you'll get to see the downfall of the Shoyim, therefore also related to the troubles they had at the beginning of the second mission. Manda Amad the Negoyim, the one who called it the Shir Shal Negoyim, he called it that the Negal Eikur Ba'alecha, because the Pasuk says, no Negal will touch your tent. Well, Manda Amad the Negoyim, the Mipo Metzidcha Elof, because the Pasuk says, 1,000 Mazikim, which is the Goyim, dangers, will fall at your right side, etc. Ma'al says, by the way, the difference is, Negoyim refers to things that affect the good. Goyim refers to the things that affect the Nesham. Va'omer, and then the pasuk continues. So they say the whole thing. Va'omer, and then they start over. Yoshev says to Elyon, "Mitzel Shaka Yisloinon Ad Kiyata Hashem Machti Elyon Samta Moynecha." Hagoyt
Agrot takes out the word Elyon Samta Moynecha because one thing the Chosim points out: if you count from the beginning of the capital up until Kiyata Hashem Machti, you have exactly 60 words corresponding to the Shishim Giborim Saviv Law by Shlomo Malch Bed that we say it in Krishma, like I was going to say in a second that we say these Kavitlach by Krishma also for the same reason.
Then
you continue with another capital, Mizmor LeDavid B'Vorka Mepnei Shalom B'Nei, capital Gimel of Tillim, Hashem Lo Rabu Tzorei, Ab La Hashem Ha'Yishua Alam Tzorei Ha'Sela, the whole capital Gimel. But again, the same thing that he explains, because you have Sukkim in there that talk about the idea of how the Goyim are making fun, and Rabin only the map, and you should also lay there the
people are saying Hashem is never going to help him. That's similar to what was going on. Well, in context, he's talking about the Jews who were opposed to David, but also, since it's a capital to them for all time, it also, Rashi explains, that it also refers to the trouble that Nehemiah and the Jewish people were going through, where the Pasuk describes over there how the Sanballat and Tovia and the rest of them or whatever are making fun of them, saying, what are these miserable Jews doing? Do they really think they're going to be able to accomplish anything in rebuilding the wall, etc.? So it's very appropriate, this kind of
change.
Yeah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amalu Lahani Kroy Vigoni. Now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to say these psukim, in particular Shir Shal Pagoyim, before he went to bed, which is what we do. We have it in Krishma Shana Mitzvah, the first half, until Kiyata. And by the way, you have in the Velt, you have many minhagim where they actually stop in the middle of the pasuk Kiyata Shemachi, for the reason we just said, because of the 60 words, the 60 giburim. Our minhag is that we say the whole pasuk Elyon Samta Maynecha, because you don't break off a pasuk unnecessarily. When we say these psukim, so Rashi says just Shir Shal Pagoyim. The Velt actually also says Kapitel Gimel, Mizmor LeDavid, because apparently they understand, the Velt understands, I guess, that the that Hanif Kroy means all the ones that we were listing so far. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, Hechi Ovid Hachi. How could Rabbi Shur ben Levi do that? How could he say psukim to protect himself? Rabbi Shimon Levi says it's also to heal yourself with divrei Torah.
How do you say that?
The answer is lahogin shiny. It's different to protect yourself in advance when you have a danger. Hold on, because we learned about it in Sanhedrin. Hold on, this is an important piece. Okay, so the question is the elaki ama also. So what's the case when Rabbi Shmuel maybe says it's also to do that? Must be the ikamaka. Apparently, we're talking about when there is already a wound, and then you're going to whisper over it, sukkum of Torah to heal it. So the question is, idi ikamaka also to lie? So you're telling me just also, but no worse than that? It's a very bad thing. Rotsnan, we learned in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, haloicha shalamaka. If somebody whispers a pasuk over a wound, ein lo chelek lo gavabah, much more than also. Yeah, so what is Rabbi Shimon Levi saying? No, in other words, so far we have three different things. You have, on the one hand, he's saying psukim to protect himself before he goes to bed. We say that you're not, hold on. We say if there's a wound, then it's also the shrapas with divrei Torah. But the Mishnah over there says more than also, it's ein lo chelek lo gavabah. So what is the case? Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying only it's also, but like there's no specific penalty involved.
The Mishnah talks when there is a wound, doesn't it?
Rabbi Shimon Levi on the face of it is also. The answer is, ha'itmar Allah, you know that it was said on it in that Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yechon and Beroikik Shonu. That thing in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin is talking about where he spits and then says the pasuk. Lufisha ein maskir and shem shemayim, alor kikah, because you don't mention Hashem's name in connection with spitting. So therefore, you have three different types. If it's, a person spits and then says a pasuk, ein lechelik lan labah. Doesn't spit, but says a pasuk over a wound, that is also. You're not allowed to use divrei Torah for refuah. Divrei Torah are higher than refuah. If you're saying psukim in order to protect yourself ahead of time, like Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying before he goes to bed, where he's concerned about mazikim that might harm him in bed, that is allowed. And that's why we say these psukim before we go to bed.
And if you happen to have a wound,
that was in Sanhedrin.
He goes to bed, but he happens to have a wound.
But he's not saying the pasuk because of the wound. He's not saying the pasuk to heal the wound. He's talking about where a person is, for example, Rashi brings the example that we learned over there. He whispers near the wound, kalamachla, shasamtim in mitzrayim, or other similar psukim, that's wrong. And if he does it with spitting, then eilech chelek lemabah. So, but lahog and shiny, it's different in order to protect. Which is, by the way,
to heal yourself by saying psukim.
Okay. However, Tosfos does point out on the basis of a Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos that when it's sakonis nefoshes, that's different. So we have four different groupings then. You're allowed to do it lahogin. You're allowed to do it when there's sakonis nefoshes. You're not allowed to do it when there's no sakonis nefoshes and there's just a wound. And if you actually do it when there's a wound or whatever, a sickness, and you spit, then ein lechelek lan labah. Those are the four.
So you are allowed.
You are allowed to do it in a time of sakana. And this is where we have
the physician say?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess so. But this is where we have the concept of saying children for a person when they're sick. It is based on that.
Right. Now,
not doing by that. You can't say
when someone,
but then there's also a difference. The post can also talk about the difference whether you're saying in the presence of the, we learned about this in Sanhedrin, also there's a difference if you're saying in the presence of the chole or not.
Yeah, but if he's not in sakana,
I forgot. You told us there was a reason for this. I don't.
The basic reason is because divrei Torah are not meant for healing. Divrei Torah are for the Rambam phrases it. It's the design of the Torah. Basically, the Rambam phrases it. Divrei Torah are meant for the fourth on nefesh. They're meant to heal your neshama, to bring your neshama to a higher level. We're learning in Tanya these days. The Torah is a lavush. There's lavush and mazin for your neshama. It's not meant for healing. For the body.
Were there people who used to be able to create effective rituals illegally by using divrei Torah?
No idea. Let's learn one more piece and then we'll call it a night.
It's interesting that they're banning something that no one really does.
Maybe they did do it. You had halacha shalom.
That's why they did it.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
We said based in Mahalkan or Shtei Torah Sacharein. Hold on. We said based in does this procession around the walls of Yerushalayim and the two Torahs are following.
How big are they?
What do you mean how big? We said the two sets of loaves of the Torah. We said, each one is made up of 10. You have 10 loaves, each one made up of an Isarin. So, you're talking about fairly large loaves of bread.
How big? Well,
I don't know. Each one is the size of a shiur challah. The size of a dough. I don't know how big they were in size. How big they were in weight.
The video where the guy carries the big challah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
The question is, remember the based in Kamitoda, Asli? So you're telling me that based in walks in front of the Todas, v'hoksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, v'yelach ha-chareyem ho-shaya v'hatisor Yehuda? The Pasuk says that ho-shaya and half of the sorim, meaning the chachamim, of Yehuda, followed them. So the people who are carrying the Todas walk first. Not like our Mishnah is saying that the based in goes and the Todas behind them. The answer is Halchakama. No, but that's what our Mishnah means. Based in Mahalchin, Ushtei Todas Mahalchus, it means based in our walking in the procession. The two Todas are also walking in the procession. Or based in Acharehem, and then based in is, and based in is following them. So yeah, I mean, when we say that based Ushtei Todas Acharehem, it's not describing that the Todas are behind them, it's describing you have based in walking, you have the Todas walking, but the based in is behind the Todas. Okay, case in Mahalchus, how did they walk when they were carrying the Todas? You have two Todas. They have two ways of doing it. You can have they're walking single file, or you can have they're walking next to each other. How do they do it? Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon b'Rebbi. Chad amar zu k'neged zu. Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon b'Rebbi. One of them says that they walked one in next to the other. V'chad amar zu achazu. And the other one says they walked single file, one behind the other. Manda amar zu k'neged. Now we said in the Mishnah that hapnimis ne'echelas v'chitzonin nisrepet. We said in the Mishnah the inner one is eaten and the outer one is burnt. So what does it mean, the inner and the outer one? Manda amazuk neged zu, the one who says that they were walking next to each other, hapnimis hachti mekavel chomer. Then the inner one is the one that is closer to the wall. So again, then they're walking outside the wall. One of them is closer to the wall, the other one is further out. So therefore, the one that's closer to the wall is the pnimis. That's the one they eat. The other one is the one that'll get burnt. And the logic behind it is like this. You have, let's say, we're doing now, right now, we're being mekadesh this new area. So now you have, let's say, the one that was taken out first, the one that's on the outside of the procession, that one's like outside of the area, therefore it has to be burned, it was taken out. Whereas the inner one is already in an area that's been established. So.
But they circle all your shrine or just
yeah.
Part?
Oh, no, all of your shrine. All of your shrine. Okay. Manda Oma Zuachazu, and according to the opinion that says they walk single file, Hapnimis Hakta Makaiva the Basin. Then the inner one is the one that's closer to Basin. So since we said you have the Todas and then the Basin, it means the inner one would be the second one in line. So the first one would be the one that would be burnt, the second one would be the one that would be. Okay. Let's look at the Mishnah. Tanan, Hapnimis Nechelas Vachatzonin is Jephet. So we say in the Mishnah the inner one is eaten, the outer one is burnt. Mishlem Lamanda on the Zuachazu, so it's good according to the opinion that says they walk single file, I'm too long, Pnimis Nechelas, then that makes sense why the inner one can be eaten, Mishum da Asikitsona Kamov Kanchala. Because like we just said, you have the outer one was there first, it was Makadish the area. So therefore when the second one came there, then it's not Yotze, it didn't go out of the area that it's supposed to. It's in an area that already became Kurdish by the first one passing by. Therefore the inner one can be eaten. El Mandom of Zuka Negazu, but according to the opinion that they're one next to the other. Tavayu Bade Hadori Kamikachi. Don't they both become Kurdish at the same time? Why should you eat one and burn the other? What's the matter with the other one? Yeah, because Rashi had said before that they're facing the wall and moving to their right. They're walking sideways, in other words. So in that case, both of them are right in front of them, right next to the wall. Neither one is further out than the other.
The wall is here, they walk like this?
Yeah. Well, they're walking like this, actually. So they're
perpendicular to the wall?
They're walking like this. If this is the wall over here, they're walking along like this.
And the chala is
they're carrying in their hand. Yeah, they're walking sideways, essentially, yeah. So if you... if that's the case, then what's pnimis and chitzona? Neither one, then why should one be tossed more than the other? They're both in the exact same area at the exact same time. Okay, so the answer is Vilitai Meich, new according to your own Savara. Lamanda, that you're asking the question. Lamanda Amar Zuachazu, new even according to the other opinion that they walk single file. Chada mi Mekadisha. Is one of them enough to be Mekadish? Anyway, you need both. Ha kol shalei nafis b'chol eilutznan. We learn in the Mishnah that any area that was not made Kodesh with all of this procedure that we said in the Mishnah, which means both Todas, is not fully Kodesh. So therefore, you definitely need the two Todas. And now even you're going to have in the next piece of Gemara, you have a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, whether in fact you need all of these things mentioned in the Mishnah, or as long as you have some of them, it's enough. But even if you say that, you still definitely need the Todas. Even Rav Nachman, who says that it's enough to have some of these things, you don't necessarily need the Melech and the Navi and the Urim Metumim, etc. But he definitely agrees that you need the two Todas. And Tavayu Chodah Mitzvah, and it's all one mitzvah. He's not going to say that one Todah is enough. So therefore, so either way you look at it, why should you say that one of them is good and the other one is not? Elo Amar Rav Yochanan, Alpi Navi Ne'echelus, Alpi Navi Nisrepes. What happens is, again, you need a Navi over there. When they did it for the second Beis Mikdash, for example, you had Chagas Chayan Malachi. Based on what they say, one of them is eaten and the other one is burnt. In other words, the Navi tells them on the spot over there, this one you should eat, this one you should burn.
Regardless of their position.
Regardless of their position, yeah. So in that particular case, it happened that it was the pnimis was eaten and the chitzonah was burnt. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, though. When Mashiach comes and Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash are rebuilt and re-sanctified, it could be that the Navi of that time will have other rules to tell us. He may tell us to eat both of them. He may tell us to burn both of them. He may tell us to eat the outer one and burn the inner one. Whatever it is, whatever the Navi tells us is what we do. Yeah. Okay. Today was the 18th.